This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, I am so excited today. I have two wonderful authors on. The first one is Jill Santopolo. Isn't that a lovely name? I'm just waiting for her to call in. She's on a major, major book tour because she is really, this is her second book we're going to be talking about today. Her first book was picked up by Reese Witherspoon Book Club. It is called The Light We Lost. And, of course, that was a tremendous best-selling book. And now the new book is More Than Words. So I'm really excited to be talking to Jill about her fantastic success. But meanwhile, what I want to do, I have Carol J. Perry is going to be a guest on February 26th for the release of her latest book. And our special pal here at Joy on Paper, Rita Moreau, did a book buzz for her. So we'll play that first, and then I'll be right back.
It's Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. Final Exam by author Carol J. Perry is the latest in the author's Witch City mystery. Here's the buzz. Life at the house on Winter Street is a buzz with preparations for Aunt Ibby's 45th high school reunion, and Lee Barrett is happy to pitch in. But when the local police dredge up a vintage sports car containing human remains, well, Lee is thrilled to be the first reporter on the scene. She quickly learns the car is connected to a cold case her boyfriend Pete happens to be working on. But it's her Aunt Ibby's emotional reaction to Lee's TV report that puts her on the case. With the help of Orion, her psychic feline sidekick, she'll have to unravel a tangled past of secrets and promises to stop a killer from making history again. Final Exam by Carol Perry will keep readers guessing until the very twisted and eerie end. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau buzzing off for now.
Okay, thank you, Rita, for that great book buzz, and I know that she just loves to do them, and it's so much fun. When she comes in the studio, I call her Radio Rita now because she just comes in, she just can sit down and buzz away, and it's really exciting to have her when she's here in the studio. Now, I want to remind everyone before I get the call in from Jill that I've been talking over the past few weeks about the Reader's Digest indie self-published authors opportunity here to enter their competition. It is a really wonderful, wonderful competition. So any of you authors out there, many of you have been on my program. I love your books, and I just want to encourage you to take some time, sit down, go over the contest rules. But if you've published a book yourself, you can enter. The grand prize is $8,000 and a trip to New York. And, of course, you get to meet some very important agents. And it's just, it would be just a lot of fun. And even if you don't win first prize, there are so many other prizes that go along with the contest. It's an opportunity for you to have your work written, that you've written, and you will get back an evaluation. And even that is useful, but you never know that the person reading your book might be just the one who wants to represent you, if it's an agent or an editor who wants to recommend you to the publisher. So go to writersdigest.com and have a look, and who knows, you might be a winner. It's always something that you have to try, because As all of you know who are out there, whether you are published writers or if you are just done it yourself and you put it online, you still have to be out there selling your book. And I want to just warn you, though, that there are ways to sell your book, and there are ways that you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. Please be very, very careful. If somebody, you know, to hire a publicist yourself is a very big decision, and you must investigate anyone that you give money to. I don't care if you give them $50, or as in recently I was speaking to an author who was on this program who has given over $1,500 to a publicist who has done nothing for them. And this is very sad. I hate when people take advantage of people who are really desperate for help. So please, if you have any questions at all, send me an email. It's patsy.radio@gmail.com. And if I can, I will help you. If it's something to do with a Hollywood type of where they want to turn your book into a script, please, please contact me before you send anybody money, because I have the ability to look into it for you to see if the person is actually real or not. And I just want to help all of you out there to use your money wisely. Do not just send your money to anybody over the internet. And I think I'm just getting the call in for a moment from Jill Santopolo. And she has done just a terrific job. She is an amazing author. I always admire an author. She's written for children. She's written for young adults. And now she's writing for real big adults. Hi, Jill. Are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Okay. Hi. And it's pronounced Santopolo, right?
Santopolo, like Marco Polo.
Okay. Jill Santopolo. It is a beautiful name. I love that name. And I'm so happy to have you here on the program today to talk about your new book, More Than Words, because your last book was such a sensation. And that was The Light We Lost. And I love that. I loved your two characters in there, Lucy and Gabe. Wow. Uh-huh. What a relationship there. And, of course, it was picked up by Reese Witherspoon's book club. So that's pretty exciting.
It was very exciting. One of the most exciting things that probably ever happened in my life, to be honest.
Wow. You know, of course, I was really always interested in, you know, I'm interested in children's books and young adult books. So I knew that you were deeply involved in that. And then, boy, when you decided to head out into adult fiction, you did it on a big scale.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me, to be honest. I thought I was going to spend my whole career in the children's and young adult world. I love it. But then I started writing this book about grown-ups, and everything changed.
And very grown-up.
Very grown-up.
But it
don't give this one to your 11-year-old.
No, I definitely not. A little advanced, but it is so much fun. I when I was reading your books, I was thinking, well, she's really she's taken off here. She's on a run, and I think it the enthusiasm. I think came through in the writing.
Thank you.
Wow. You have to sort of take a deep breath. I know that, you know, of course, your publisher loves you. And the minute you're picked up by Reese Witherspoon Book Club, you're guaranteed some hefty sales. And the nice thing about it, I saw, they don't send, you know, they don't send authors out on these major book tours anymore, but you are like nonstop go here.
I am crisscrossing the country.
I was amazed. I mean, there are authors, you know, I say this, more famous than you, who don't get this kind of tour anymore in their lives. And so when I saw that, I thought, my goodness, from Connecticut to New York to Florida to where are you not? I mean, you are like in Oregon and Colorado. I mean, I said, oh, the publisher loves her. The publisher loves her.
Well, you know, I said to them, you know, they said, would you be interested in going out on tour? And I said, sure, if you think it's going to, you know, get my books into people's hands, I'll do whatever you need me to do. And they said, okay, great. And then next thing I saw was this amazing tour that they set up for me. So,
wow, it is really great. And I think well-deserved, because it's an area of fiction that when you hit it right, it just... it's just wonderful. And you've hit it right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So yes, let's talk about the new book. It's More Than Words, and it's a fascinating story about you can do your pitch here. You tell us what you're going to be telling everybody on this marvelous road tour. I think you're going to it's one of these fantastic dream tours. So tell us about the book.
So More Than Words is about Nina Gregory, who lives in New York City, and her father owns a whole bunch of high-end luxury hotels. And she's always known that when he's gone, she will take over the family business the way he took over from her grandfather. And then once her father actually does pass away, she finds out all of these secrets that he's been keeping from her for her entire life. And they change the way she sees him and sees her parents' relationship and sees her childhood and also sees her own future. So she now kind of has to figure out who she really is without her father around and what she wants to do with her life and how she wants to live it.
And, of course, there's that love interest. There's the old boyfriend or the new boyfriend who she's known forever. And then I got a kick out of this because I thought the new guy, I really like the way you've written about him. His name is Rafael O'Connor Ruiz, and he's a politician. And I the minute I read the description of him, I said, now, I don't know if this girl is just really, really clever, but she has described somebody who's so gorgeous that when they make the movie, she's going to be insist upon upon a little casting involvement. I would love just them to just bring a lineup of guys who fit the description and spend the day with them.
It would be fun. It would be fun.
Well, I think they can do that. That's a great way to do a promo for the book and the film. They say, okay, the author, as part of the contract, has insisted that she get to check out, you know, 50 of these really gorgeous guys and select the one she thinks is right to play.
To be able to act too, though.
Oh, right? Yeah, no, like, actors. Yeah, we want actors, but I'm sure you could have fun finding 50 actors who would fit Raphael. It was funny when the minute you described him, you know, like bull. I could see him in my head. I thought she's done a good job here.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that so. Who do you see him as? Do you have an actor that you would
We need somebody new. There's nobody. There's nobody who quite has that that appeal that you've put into Raphael. I think we'd have to really see a real twinkle in his eye to really make the decision. But it's going to be fun. You're going to have fun with this one.
I hope so. I hope so. It's out today. So you know. Everything kind of takes off tonight, so we'll see how everyone responds.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to have a great response because you have written it's a fascinating story. It's not, you know, the way you've combined it with the sort of mystery from her father, Joseph Gregory, and his whole past and what he's sort of kept away from her. So there's a little bit of a sort of a mystery running through it. And then, of course, the love story where, gosh, Nina has to choose between two guys. Whoa.
Who are, you know, they're both good choices, but you know,
yeah,
Raphael is Raphael. But
everybody has to read the book because you never know. There are surprises that can happen. And And of course, one of the nice things, you've said it in New York, which I think is obviously you know the city, and so it really, I think you've captured it.
Yeah, I wanted to try and get that like old New York glamorous vibe, because I felt like the Gregory Hotels should feel like that, like the Plaza or the Waldorf, or you know, something super elegant and luxurious. And I felt like New York does that well.
And you do the writing of it well, because you really did capture the city. And it was for people who, you know, when I was young, I was always dreaming about going to New York City. This is exactly the kind of book that would entice me and make me want just to feel that excitement of New York that really doesn't exist anywhere else.
Yeah, you know, I've been to a lot of cities. I travel a lot, and there are so many fantastic places to visit, and some places I would even love to live, but I feel like New York just is unique. It's got its own energy, and the yellow cabs and the music and art and theater and food, and the fact that it just, everyone is always out at all hours. It's surprising when I find myself on a street by myself, and it kind of scares me, like, where is everyone? What happened? Have we entered the apocalypse? So, you know, I love the energy of the city and sort of the architecture and all of that that I was able to work into the book.
And you did capture the glamour of and the people. So I thought, well, she's done a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
So it takes time. You sort of evolve from your children's books, and I like very much your young adult books, because they were, I thought, you know, it was very clever. Which one was it? I read the one with the, you know, multiple. I love multiple ending books. I love books that have, you know, where you can choose which path to follow, type of thing.
Yeah.
And you certainly have done that with your young adult. Is that also an ongoing series that you're going to keep working on?
So there are two of them. It's the Follow Your Heart books. So there's Summer Love and Love on the Lift. And I think there's just going to stick with two, one for the summer and one for the winter.
They're very well done. And since you are in the business and you know the importance of really getting children to read at a young age, I think that's also something that you've done for writers in general, encouraging children to read.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, if you can get a child interested in books when they're young, you've kind of given them this gift for their whole lives, because once you're a reader, you're kind of always a reader, even if there are some times where you feel like, oh, I'm too busy right now to really get that involved in books. You can always come back to it, and you can always kind of, you know, find comfort or find escape or find just whatever you need to sort of keep you in a good place in a book. And you know, there have been those articles that said that people who are readers actually deal better with adversity in life because they've experienced it through characters. So they're like, oh, I get this. I know what this is going to feel like. I know how I can get through this because I've seen it before. So I feel like that's really interesting to me. And I feel like, you know, with my Sparkle Spa series, if I can, you know, hook any kids and make them readers, like, that's my dream.
And it is true. And now, in, of course, the new book, it does deal with a very serious subject. So More Than Words has this underlying theme of loss. Of course, the scene with her father, where Nina and her father interact, is just wonderful. I mean, you really have captured that, you know, that emotion of when she's going to lose her father, and generally there's this underlying theme in your book.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think what I was trying to do is channel my emotions into the story in a way that would that other readers would be able to see themselves in their own situations there, because I feel like sometimes when you're going through a rough patch in life, you know, it can feel lonely, and it can feel like I'm the only one who has ever felt so terrible and has been so sad and it's so awful. But when you know that there's someone else who's also experienced it or who's also felt that way, I think it makes it easier just in the sense that you feel less alone. And you know that if someone else felt this way and got through it, that you probably can too. And I feel like that's what I'm hoping happens with More Than Words, that there are readers who read it and think like, okay, I've felt this way and I'm not alone in feeling that way. And you know, if this character can get through it, then so can I.
Now, I've been thinking, you know, of course you're one of these people, I'm sure you were reading at a young age and already interested in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wrote my first book when I was 3.
That's what
literally.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling you were a precocious little thing.
My mother was an elementary school teacher, so she laminated my first book. So I still have it, actually, so many years later.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's...
It was cute. It was about a fat cat who sat on a mat. I think I probably had learned to rhyme that morning.
Uh-huh.
Or read Dr. Seuss. It might have been Dr. Seuss inspired.
Well, that is exactly the kind of thing that I tell people all the time. Whenever I go to a meeting, a women's group, or wherever I'm talking, I say, oh, start them young. Start them with this joy of words. Obviously, you were rhyming, and that is so important when you're young, because it really makes you feel comfortable with words. And of course, your mother, I usually ask, like, is there a teacher that influenced you? But there's definitely a teacher that influenced you.
Yeah, definitely my mother, but a lot of other teachers too, actually. You know, I had she was my teacher in second and third grade. She like looped with us. And she did this thing called Roots, where every week we learned a new root word and then had to sort of explore all of the words that came from that root. Like, it would be oct, and we would learn about October and octagon and octopus and octave. And every week we had a new one of those. And I feel like that little, you know, weekly project that we did really informed how I looked at words as I grew, and how I understood words, and how I could take apart words and understand their meaning even if I hadn't seen the word before. So Mrs. Jones, her name was Joan Jones, and she was a fantastic, fantastic teacher.
Wow. You have to dedicate one of your books to her.
I actually put her in the Alex Flint book. The Alex Flint books.
Ah, okay. That's wonderful.
There's a teacher named Mrs. Jones, who's in her honor.
Oh, that's great, because it is so important. Teachers out there, please, please encourage. I had the exact opposite. I had a third grade teacher who, because I'm left-handed, she made me sit on my left hand.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's
and so you can imagine how difficult it was for me to write with my right hand.
Wow.
So it's so good. I always love to hear about a wonderful teacher. And this is nice. Joan Jones, a great name. And I think she's done a great job with you. And I don't know if she's still around, but I hope so, because then you can invite her to the premiere of the first film of your books, which I'm sure is going to be done. I remember when I first spoke to Joe, the first time I spoke to JoJo Moyes, I said, well, you know, your book is going to be a film. And she said, I don't know. I said, oh, yeah, it's going to be a film. So so I was right with JoJo Moyes, me before you and me after you. And I'm right with this because... Jill Santopolo, you are going to be able to watch your words be turned into a film. Isn't that exciting?
It would be fantastic.
It will
really
be.
Fantastic.
And you have a website that you want people to see? Oh, they can see your whole tour guide there.
Yes, JillSantopolo.com is my website. I'm on Twitter at JillSantopolo, on Instagram at JillSantopolo, and on Facebook at /JillSantopolo author. And Instagram is where I post the most.
Okay. Well, I hope that everyone will go and get both of the books. Once they read one, they'll want to read the other, and they will all want to see the movie when it comes out. And do me a favor, when you are ready to announce the film deal, will you come back on and Joy on Paper and tell all of my listeners about the excitement of getting a film deal, and just to talk more about your writing?
Absolutely. And more, The Light We Lost actually already does have a film deal. We'll see about More Than Words.
Well, I'm sure it will. So, again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's been just a joy to talk to you.
You as well. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye, Nadja. Wow. Okay. She is really nice. And I'm going to we're going to do a commercial. And then when we come back, I have another interview coming up.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660. Or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper today a brilliant writer, Fiona Barton, and the new book is The Suspect, and she is just amazing and British, and I, as everyone knows, I love to talk to people from England. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, Patsy.
I always love to talk to somebody from England because I lived there for quite a few years in Sonning. Mm-hmm. Near Henley.
And so, oh, how lovely.
And it was lovely. And so I just love this. I love your writing. Well, first of all, it's just great because I have to tell everyone that you were a reporter, a famous reporter, and that sort of carries through in your writing, that you have this great, solid writing. And then on top of it, you have just become, well, a woman who can write thrilling psychological books that are just fun to read.
Thank you.
Wow. And I love it. You know, there's, I don't know, for people, we'll talk about the idea of the book and first, and then, but I have to say, whenever I pick up a book and somebody says brilliant, I love it. Because when I came back from England,
For years, whenever I was talking to people, I'd say, brilliant, and brilliant, and they didn't understand why I'm saying it, but, you know, in England, that's what we say, right?
We do, absolutely.
Okay, well, let's talk about The Suspect. This is the third in the series of a wonderful storyline that you've come out with. Kate Waters is a reporter. I guess she's based on you, sort of. And it's nice when you pick a character, sort of, but you can do all sorts of wonderful things with her, right? Whatever you want when you're
absolutely
writing,
you can, yeah, you can, yeah, absolutely.
You can make her beautiful. You can make her, you can do anything, and live an ulterior life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, let's talk about the new book. The other two books were amazing. The Widow and the Child, all these two-word titles. And now The Suspect. And this is a story about two young girls who go off for their gap year to Thailand. And so what do you want to say about, without giving away too much?
Yes, I'm going to tiptoe around this, but... Yes, so the two girls, Alex and Rosie, go off on their gap year, first time away from home, young, just finished school, and off. And before they go to university, they want to go travelling. Very high hopes. Anyway, they go missing very quickly in Bangkok. And Kate Waters, the journalist from the first and second books, is writing stories. She gets the exclusive interview with the parents about how worried they are. And then... when bodies are found in Bangkok, she goes out there with the rest of the media pack to report on the story.
But we don't know. We're not saying if it were it's girls or anything like that, because we want people to just read this book for the sheer enjoyment of all the sort of how you build it up, how you introduce the characters. I love the way you've done it with a four-person point of view. I like it very much. And you have, of course, Kate, who is the reporter, and Bob Sparks, who is the police man, and then one of the girls' mothers, and then one of the girls herself. And it's told very nicely. The transitions from one point of view to the other is really seamless and really great. It doesn't always work. Some people aren't good at that, but you have mastered the technique.
Well, I wonder whether it's something to do with being a reporter, because when you do a news story, you want lots of different voices in it, as many voices are as necessary to tell the whole story. So I'm very used to having multiple voices in my stories, news, non-fiction and fiction.
Well, it really makes the story move along very nicely, and we get to know these people. And, of course, Kate is just a character that, once you read her, I can see why when you did the first book, you planned a big series when you started the first book?
Not at all, no. I was amazed that I got to the end of the first book. No, and Kate actually wasn't a major character in the beginning. It was all... the widow, Jean's story, and I only introduced Kate so that Jean had somebody to tell her story to. But it quickly, once she was inside the door, Kate sort of grew and grew, and it was so lovely to write her. It really felt like I was coming home. So I stuck with her. I was nervous, to be honest, because I wasn't sure how people would view a journalist in a novel, in a thriller. The journalists in the UK, there have been a number of scandals around them, and the reputation is sort of somewhere below politicians and tax inspectors. So I was nervous, but actually there's been a lovely reaction to her. Not all positive, but there's been a conversation about reporting and about journalists as human beings rather than stereotypes.
Yes, you've done a beautiful job with her, because I lived in England for, as I said, quite a few years, so I did know some reporters. We will talk about them someday. Over a gin and tonic, we'll meet in Sanning. Sanning is one of those little villages where there are three pubs and a sweet shop. And
yes, it's a beautiful place. Now, I used to be in Oxford, so I know that area very well.
Wow. You know, I'm not sure if everybody gets all of the humor in the book. I get a lot of the humor. It's so funny when I was reading it, and there are several areas where I was reading it, and I'm saying, oh my gosh, this is so funny. Like, I just want to say, when you described the flop house, that Alex had never, didn't know what a flop house was, but she had read Down and Out in Paris and London.
Exactly, yes.
I laughed so hard. oh, girl, you got... you got something to learn. Yeah. And then when...
I did go and stand in that flop house, actually, in Mama's Paradise Bar and Grill.
Yes.
Fate's Motel, as they started to call it, but it's every bit as appalling.
Well, I think you know. You really should have spent the night there, I don't think.
I tell you what. I would have needed to be paid a lot of money to spend a night in there.
A big advance for that one. I hope you stayed in a lovely place. Where did you stay What hotel did you stay in?
Because I can't remember. It was quite a nice one, but it was in the area, you know, but it was a proper hotel.
Yeah, so,
there were proper locks on the doors and things.
Well, there are so many beautiful hotels there, and you don't... Yeah, well, if I was in my gap year, I would want to be in one of, like, the Four Seasons. You know, there.
Yes. I think we would have a very different gap year, wouldn't we?
Oh,
Mama's was about $3 a night for a twin room. Well, a double room it was. But I think, you know, they were overcharging. It was, God, I can't tell you.
Mosquitoes
on the walls. Oh, my. It wasn't good.
Oh, I know. I did my gap year in England. I come from Northern Michigan, and I saved my money all the time I was in school, worked an extra job, and when I got to England, my gap year was that I bought a cottage in Sonning, a 400-year-old cottage.
Wow.
And I spent my gap year redoing that cottage because the previous people had put plastic tiles over the beams, and they'd covered up all the four fireplaces. So that was my gap year, which I think was a better gap year than spending it in this
in Bates Motel.
Yes. Oh, paradise. You sometimes so that's why you wrote about it so beautifully. I mean, it just I got the feel for the place.
I'm glad.
It was great writing, really great writing. I thought, oh yes, oh okay. I thought well maybe she did her gap year in Thailand because it hasn't changed much over the years.
No, I didn't. I was in France. I was an au pair in France, learning French.
Wow, that's also nice.
More civilized.
Although today you couldn't pay me to spend my gap year in Paris, so I don't know. But it's really exciting that it turned into a series, which is, I think it's going to be a long running series because it is so good. I think you've captured you've captured Kate, and I love the whole thing, her relationship, of course, with the police officer, D.I.
Yeah,
Bob Sparks.
Bob.
Yes, very, very well done, and I think all that sort of backstory about what it's like to be a reporter and how you think about stories. Yes, it's fun. It's fun for people who haven't ever done anything like that to sort of hear about some of this thinking.
Well, that's really why I did it. You know, I wanted people to know what it was like to be a reporter, warts and all. So that's why I went ahead with that. But actually, I'm writing book four at the moment, and Kate isn't in it.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness!
I decided she needed a lie down in a darkened room.
Okay.
So after the suspect, so I'm doing another psychological thriller, but I'm trying some different characters. She'll be back. Don't you worry. Never want to stay quiet for long.
Yes, I didn't think so.
But it's been quite nice. Don't tell her I said so. But quite nice to just think about other characters as well. I think it's good. It's a good break for both of us.
Well, I think your gap year was very useful because now you get to live in France part of the year, right? Sort of like a Peter Mall. Are you having a Peter Mall? You're in Provence type of life.
No, I wish. No, we've got a house in Dordogne in the southwest of France, down towards Bordeaux, that kind of area, a bit higher than that. And it is beautiful. It's deep, deep countryside, La France profonde, and it's lovely and quiet, long walks, our cockerel crowing far too often. So it is lovely. I mean, we are living back in the UK now. We're in Sussex. And have been for over a year now. Gosh, gone so fast.
And the new book is, where is that? Is it in England or?
It is.
Yeah.
It's in East Anglia.
Wow.
At the moment.
As I said, I think it's, of course, they're all standalones, but once anybody reads a suspect, which is really so well done, they will definitely want to go and read the other two because it's just, there's a time when you get to a writer who's really comfortable in their writing. And we feel that with you. And so I think that you've done an amazing job with this book.
Well, that's so kind of you. Thank you. I'm so thrilled you like it.
Well, you know, and of course you were born in Cambridge, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of all that talent around you.
Yes, I'm not sure about that, but yes, it's so I'm back in East Anglia for book four, so be visiting my childhood haunt.
Oh, that'll be lovely because I love that area too. And of course, I spent a lot of time, and I'm probably you too did research at the British Museum Library.
Yes, I did.
I love that, and I cried. I was talking to Tasha Alexander, another British author, and she and I had the same reaction when we walked up to where they've now put a glass wall across the library, and you can just stand there and look at it. And we both cried when we saw that, because it was such a wonderful place to do research.
Yeah.
It's
an incredible place.
And
I mean, what a resource!
Oh.
And open to, you know, anyone can go and join and get a reader's ticket and all that. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
It was just wonderful.
We're
and
very lucky.
I was so thrilled. I spent a couple of years doing research there, and just having that resource and having that fun of being there. Now, so I wish now, because it's really very sad to see. I was thinking that they should dig up a bunch of the famous authors who worked there, put their bones in their favorite chairs. at least make it fun, something fun for me.
Yes.
Good day. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things, of course, as I said, you're what I call a solid writer, and that's comes from your reporting days, so we don't have to ask you, how did you learn to write? But, of course, there was a process here of learning how to write suspense, and you've done a great job on that.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be looking forward to the next one, and I'm going to be talking about your books to my listeners quite a bit over the time, because I like to recommend to my readers books where they can really learn what they need to tell a great story, and you have really done it with your books.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Well, it's been an absolute joy to talk to you today, and Joy
Thank
on Paper
you.
Is really I do this program because I want to encourage writers, and I want to encourage those who dream of writing. And now, of course, you were a reporter, always probably in the back of your mind you hoped one day to be a famous New York Times bestselling author.
Well, I'm not sure that I did, but it was a wonderful surprise. You know, I was 59 when my first book was published, so it's never too late, is what I say to people. Never stop believing.
Exactly. That's why. Because the joy of seeing your words on paper is so wonderful, and then to know that people. Oh, by the way, the Audible book. You have my favorite narrator. Absolutely. Oh my! Have you listened to it?
Well, the U.S. one.
Nicholas.
Guy Smith is narrating the book. He's British.
No, I haven't heard it yet. I shall do that next.
I have had him on my program. I brought him on my program because I love his voice so much. He did a Gentleman in Moscow.
Oh, I love that book.
He's a narrator for that book. I love it. Yeah. I listen to that over and over because I just love his voice. And also, he's really he's really gorgeous. So the Audible version is terrific. It's really exciting. And I don't know, sometimes authors don't want to hear their words, but I think it works so beautifully. You really
I like the audiobook. Oh, yes. I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, and
I'm sure I will now.
And Nick brings real passion to the reading. I mean, really great. And you will enjoy it. And I that's something I always tell my listeners, that one of the joys of life is to hear your words in an Audible book. And so to have Nick doing it is a real bonus. They did a great job.
Well, I'll definitely get on and find and get a copy of that.
And I know
it's in the Post, probably.
And you know, I know also your publisher must love you, because whenever a publisher loves you, they give you really nice book cover with really nice, you know, production value. Mm. And your cover is gorgeous. So
it is lovely, really lovely. I was very happy with that.
Absolutely. Well, it's been just brilliant. You know, I really appreciate talking to you today, and I look forward to talking to you when the next book comes out. Okay.
That would be a pleasure.
Okay.
Thanks so much, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, bye, Fiona. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I really like Fiona's book. It's one of those books that you get and you start reading and you think, whoa, this is really good. And you just you can't put it down. So she's absolutely delightful. And of course, it's always fun to talk to somebody with a British accent. Now, again, I want to remind you that the Reader's Digest contest that I mentioned, the deadline is April 1st, which is, of course, April Fool's Day. And that also reminds me that on that day, I'm going to have a guest on who is going to be talking about one of my favorite people who passed away. Of course, it's Debbie Reynolds. She was born on April Fool's Day, which is perhaps appropriate for somebody who made us laugh so much. But I'm going to have a special program. We're going to play some of her music and also talk to someone who knew her very, very well, because I wrote a script for Debbie Reynolds, and we had hoped that we would film it here at Fantasy of Flight. As a matter of fact, Kermit Weeks, the owner of Fantasy of Flight, was going to fly some of his very, very beautiful airplanes in the film for us. Unfortunately, the time that we were going to film was just after October 2008. And of course, everything collapsed. So we weren't able to do it. And then by the time, after several years passed, by the time we were able to get we had hoped to swing back into action, by that point, Debbie was with her health problems and everything. It was impossible to get insurance because she was the main character and the actual star of the film and was in like 80% of the film. And no insurance company would cover production for that length of time for her. So unfortunately, I never got to actually see the film made with her. I hope someday maybe we will find the right actress to play her. There are not very many actresses who have that same spirit and energy and excitement that I was looking for. When I wrote the script, I wrote the script for her, with her in mind, with her personality in mind. And it was very sad that we never got to make it. It's called The Sunshine Pilot. And it was based here in a small airport here in Florida. And so you never know. Maybe we can find somebody who will just suit the character of that I wrote, and we might go back into production. We can keep our fingers crossed, because it is so much fun, to see your words on paper. So whether you write a script or whether you write a book, it's always fun to see your words on paper and then to hear them in an audible book, or and especially if Nicholas Guy Smith is the one who's recording it. He was on my program before, and I think I will invite him back simply because I could talk to him for an hour easily. His voice is so, so wonderful. But think about submitting your book. If it's a self-published book, submit it before April 1st, right there to Reader's Digest. Go and look at the contest rules. But it is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you to have a second chance, because you never know. And Nancy Peacock, who was on my program, she wrote a book. She didn't have any sales, or very few sales, mostly to family and friends. And then, voila, she submitted it to Writer's Digest, won the contest, and then she got a nice big publishing deal. So it can happen to you. All you have to do is try. And as you heard from my guests today, they have found the joy on paper. It was so much fun to talk to Jill Santopolo. She has such a wonderful, wonderful laugh. She reminds me of Eileen Spinelli, who writes children's books, and it's a kind of contagious, wonderful laugh. And they have found the joy of writing. And speaking of children's book, I would like to recommend, if you have a young person in your life, that for Valentine's Day, of course, always it's wonderful to buy a book. There are so, so many wonderful books, but I would like to recommend Jackie Minetti's One Small Spark. It is a wonderful story told in a really beautiful fashion. It's got a great cover, and it's about this very special child during the Revolutionary War. And I hope that if you're looking for a book for a child, you take that one. And meanwhile, remember, Valentine's Day is coming up. And if you're looking for a gift book, Nat Geo, National Geographic books are fantastic. The prices are so good, and the books are so beautiful. It doesn't matter what subject your loved one is interested in, there is a Nat Geo book. There's one for travelers, there's ones for health, there's ones for just beautiful photography, of course, all the children's books and all the animal books. Whatever you have, whatever interest you have or your loved one has, you will find a Nat Geo book that is just perfect. And I have some Nat Geo book authors coming up soon, and it's just, I get so thrilled when I get a Nat Geo book, and they are the type of books that people will keep forever. So when you write your, you know, inside the book cover, and you write a little something special, that they will keep these books for years. They pass down through generations. That's the wonderful thing about Nat Geo books, because of the high-quality publishing that they do, and yet they have been able to maintain reasonable prices. I'm always so surprised. I get these gigantic books that look to me like they should be $300, and they're, you know, $75. So definitely have a look at a Nat Geo book. And meanwhile, I already told you that it's fun to write, so just go ahead and write, and also say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything you do for me. And Ed is saluting me, and I am saluting him, because he's a great guy, and I really appreciate everything he does. Meanwhile, just have a wonderful day. I hope all of you are warming up wherever you are, because it's gorgeous here in Clearwater, Florida at WTAN Studios. We are having fun. Okay, bye-bye now.